Civic engagement is just people working together to make the community better. I'm paraphrasing, but that's the gist of it, I think. Now, some people have a connotation of it being political or being about organizing or about public policy, and I think that that is certainly part of it, but I think that civic engagement is also, being involved in your church and doing stuff through that, or it's being involved in your kids' school. That is civic engagement as well. And frankly, I think you could take it to the level of civic engagement is like casual get-togethers in your neighborhood where you're just
knowing your neighbor's
name. Just getting to know your neighbor. Yeah, I mean, there's power in that, So yeah, so we have kept it very broad because that's what we believe, but also because I think that we'll get a broad swath of ideas that could come from that.
Welcome back to the Camp House Podcast. I hope you all are enjoying your summer so far, and I am so glad to be back with you. Today, I'm excited to have Causeway's Abby Garrison return to the studio to discuss something that I look forward to each and every year, the Causeway Challenge. In this episode, we discuss each of the previous challenges, as well as talk about their current challenge. How can we use creativity to increase civic engagement in Chattanooga? This is the Camp House Podcast, and I am your host, Matt Busby. All right, Abby, well, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be back here.
Yeah, so our guest today is Abby Garrison, who you guys should know from a podcast we did not only about Causeway, but she actually interviewed me back in December about the Camp House.
That was so fun. That was like the peak of my holiday season, getting to do that. So.
It was like 7 months ago, too, which is kind of crazy to think how long ago that is.
I know. You've been doing this for a while now.
It's coming up on a year. Yeah. I think maybe by the time this airs, it'll actually be a year. We'll see. Well, the reason I have Abby back on the podcast today is Causeway has launched their next challenge. It's their Challenge 6. And we talked about the Causeway challenges back when we did the whole episode on Causeway. But, just to kind of recap, this is one of your guys' biggest programs within Causeway. One of the things you guys do on a, I think, biannual basis at this point. So tell us about the challenges. What is the idea behind that entire program?
Yeah, sure. So it's definitely one of our premier programs. It was one of the things that we rolled out when we first started transitioning 2 or 3 years ago from just being online to also being an offline organization. The whole idea behind it is that it's an ideas challenge. So we pose a question to the community that people seem interested in, and they bring us their best idea to solve that challenge question. It's not, the program itself is not, frankly, like that original of a program. It's being done in other cities around the country. And ours is specifically really based on the Knight City Challenges. I don't know how. Okay. Are you familiar with Knight Foundation?
I know it operates in cities where their newspapers used to be.
Yeah, exactly. So the Knight Foundation is in Macon, Georgia, actually. They're in like Miami and some big cities, but they're also in Macon, Georgia. And we went on a field trip there when I first started at Causeway and went around with their program officer, and I think the Community Foundation of Georgia was also involved. And they were at the time really focused on this particular neighborhood in Macon, College Hill, I think is what it was called, and had just really gotten a lot of cool ideas coming out from the neighbors who live in this neighborhood through the challenge process. And, for us at Causeway, we're just so interested in what people kind of in neighborhoods, in communities, probably grassroots, I guess, is the word people would think of, the ideas that they themselves have for their own communities.
Well, yeah, I feel like that's what I love so much about these challenges is that you guys are posting these challenges, I don't want to say problems, but actual challenges we see in our city. And the whole goal is to come up with these sort of grassroots answers that are not necessarily from experts, from people on the ground. And that just feels like such a unique approach.
I mean, at Causeway, that's the thing that interests us the most. So that's where we started. We started as a hyper-local crowdfunding platform. People didn't have to wait around for someone else to raise the money or solve the problem in their own neighborhood. So that's how we started. And it's just grown from there. And it's not necessarily that unique of an idea. We have a, there's a quote that we put up recently on Facebook from Jane Jacobs, you know, from back middle of last century, something I won't try to quote her, but it was something effectively saying the same thing. That
I actually want to pause for a moment and give you the quote from Jane Jacobs, because it's a good one. It goes like this. Historically, solutions to city problems have very seldom come from the top. They come from people who understand the problems firsthand, because they're living with them and have new, ingenious, and often very offbeat ideas on how to solve them. The creativity and concern and ideas down there in city neighborhoods has to be given a chance.
And we just completely agree with that. I think that there's kind of on a big scale standpoint, you know, for lots of different reasons, that pendulum is kind of swinging that way for a lot of different reasons. I think that lots of people are much more interested now at like what's going on at the local level.
Yeah.
Maybe from a political standpoint, the national stuff, even some of the state stuff, just seems so far removed that what you can see and feel every day in your neighborhood or your city, it just feels so much more approachable. Like maybe you could actually roll your sleeves up and make something happen.
Yeah, there's somebody, I know I've sent you some videos by this guy, but there's somebody I really respect called Greg Thompson, who runs an organization called Thriving Cities. And, you know, I've heard him tell crowds before, he's like, listen, if all you do is pay attention to national politics, you can get really depressed about a country.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of where you come from politically.
Yeah, totally.
But if you're like me and you visit city after city after city and you're visiting with groups like that were in the room, you'll realize there are a million great ideas and amazing things happening around the country.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really this turn to seeing like, okay, what can we do on a local level? It's yeah, hopefully this is a rise of localism and citizenship that we're seeing not just in Chattanooga, but all over the place.
Well, and so that's what I'm so excited about this particular challenge question, because I feel like it's bringing all these worlds together for us, like the kind of theoretical side of why we even do the challenge, why we have a grassroots challenge competition is now like pretty fully aligned with the question that we're asking, because the question we've got this time around is how can we use creativity to increase civic engagement in Chattanooga? And I mean, in some ways, the program itself increases civic engagement. But now we're bringing the challenge question to focus on that as well. And I'm just, I don't know, I'm really excited about it. There's so many cool ideas out there in our own city, but then also across the country in other cities that, you know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just got to get some support behind some of them happening here locally, get some leadership going for at the project level for some neat things to really kind of bubble up.
Yeah. Well, you know, before we dive into this current challenge, I really do want to go back and kind of even recap some of the stuff you've been doing in the past, so people kind of get an idea of what that sort of grassroots idea type of stuff looks like. So you guys have been doing this since 2014,
mm-hmm.
and to date, you guys have granted out about $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
And these are not to giant ideas or organizations, but really to a lot of individuals who just have incredible ideas. And so, you know, I want to talk through some of those. And one of them, let's see, your very first challenge was?
We call it the connectivity challenge.
Okay.
So it was all about, it was really a broad question about how can we make Chattanooga more connected. And in some ways that one, and that was our first one that we did. We did $2,500 grants. We literally just wrote a check and saw what happened, like sat back and checked in with them.
Yeah,
like
and you guys had 20 winners
and
within
we had 20.
That one. That's
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, we did 20 that time. And, you know, from a logistics standpoint, we realized that was a lot of management. So we backed off and actually did 5 the next time. And then since then, we've landed on, we do 10, about 10 each
okay.
time. So,
yeah.
Yeah, the first one was awesome, though. It was a really broad question. And we put a ton of thought into the question. We talked to lots of different people. We have lots of brainstorming sessions ourselves in-house. And that one we really kind of landed on as our first kind of out-of-the-gates question, making it intentionally broad, intentionally kind of whatever connected means to you is fine with us. And so we got all sorts of stuff, like from shutting streets down for cyclovias and you know, transportation at transportation bus finding app to doing cool stuff in Ferger Park, just getting neighbors together in an underutilized park. So it really ran the gamut on that one.
Well, then after that, you guys did, how can we make Chattanooga a city where people from all backgrounds live, work, and play and learn together? Mm-hmm. And that's one where you only had 5 winners.
Yeah, so that one, and again, this has been kind of a learning definitely a learning process for us. So like I said, the first time we pretty much just wrote the checks and, you know, checked in to make sure that they did the project. And we realized that we probably had a little bit more to offer as far as help and support for getting the projects off the ground in a you know, effective way.
Yeah. And it's one thing for a smaller organization like Causeway to try and help coach and manage 20 different people's ideas versus in the second challenge, you guys only had 5 winners.
Right, right. The second challenge in many ways is kind of the outlier. So it was a really intense interview process. We took them through like a day-long interview to even make sure they were like, you know, that their team had the right kind of fit going within their own team. And then we awarded $10,000, like a lot bigger grants. And then took all 5 of the winners through pretty intense incubation phase where they had to come to Causeway on a weekly basis and kind of go through classes and had access to our space and kind of co-worked with us. And it was fantastic. The projects were cool. They were great. We call that one the diversity challenge. That's our like internal lingo. We've had to kind of sum them down to like one word to keep track of them. So the projects that came out of it were fantastic, but it was... At the same time, it stopped feeling a little bit as resident-led, if you will. It felt like it had our fingerprints on it almost too much. Mm. And frankly, the amount of money, it sounds like $10,000 isn't that much, but it was too much. Yeah. I think it was a little bit intimidating.
Intimidating, yeah.
That you've got, oh my gosh, I've got this $10,000, and that's a lot of opportunity. I think some people just kind of overthought it in some ways. And so we backed off on the dollar amount because the intention of the challenge is really to kind of be a pilot phase, to really kind of give someone who is traditionally kind of outside of the nonprofit grant making world, because you know all the foundations in town only grant to existing nonprofits. You can, like an individual, no matter how good their idea is, pretty much could not walk in and get funding to try something.
Right, yeah.
Foundations typically, not just in Chattanooga, but, you know, established foundations typically like track record too.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they're relatively risk averse to new ideas. You know, I say that the Ben Wood Foundation and Footprint Foundation fund us.
Right.
Precisely because they meet
this need.
Yeah, precisely because they want to try new things.
And right.
Lyndhurst Foundation funds us to do a project at Patton Towers that's super risky from the standpoint of like, will it work or not? So they all are fully aware that their process needs a Causeway in the mix to try to get some more risky projects off the ground. But anyway, so it's the whole point of the challenge is to try to get people who have not been able to, you know, be a part of that process, to try new things, to get involved in making our community better. And so far, it's definitely gotten new faces in the mix. Yeah. So that's what we're most pleased with.
Well, I want to keep going through these challenges you guys have already done really quick, just because I want people to see sort of the scope of these questions and I feel like almost the poignancy of these questions for our city. Because I look forward to just hearing the questions you guys are asking, because I think they're really important. And so, you know, after that, the diversity challenge you just talked about, you guys had it's called the Play Challenge.
Play Challenge.
How can more opportunities to play make Chattanooga a stronger city?
So that one... It's hard to pick a favorite, but if I had to, I think that would be my favorite so far. That was one that, like, internally, we felt like after the diversity challenge, it was a pretty heavy, weighty, difficult topic that no one really has an answer to at this point. So we kind of wanted to keep it fun in some ways, because that is actually one of our kind of core values at Causeway, is to make change-making fun. Because, you know, it's tough work. You're moving mountains, changing the world. And so the people who are taking on these projects, we try really hard to keep the process fun and inspiring. And so that's one of the reasons that we did a play challenge. The other side of that is that I fundamentally really do think that play is important. You know, I've got young kids right now and have been doing tons of reading and research about them and children, and have aging parents right now myself, like all of us do, or and I'm aging myself. And I just think that play is really important of for keeping people engaged and inspired and feeling alive. So it's a fun topic, but it also is an important topic.
Yeah.
And so that challenge, we funded some really cool ideas. Like my one that comes to mind, that's one of my favorites, is Big Whimsy. That the library
throughout the interview, as we went through every one of the previous Causeway challenges, Abby spent time gushing about many of the ideas and projects that people have created in the past. But for the sake of time, I'm going to leave those stories out and instead refer you all to the Causeway website, where you can see previous challenge questions and each of the projects that were awarded grants. So at some point, I do encourage you to check them out, because you will be inspired by the sort of creativity and passion that is right here in our city, just waiting to be tapped. You can find all of those ideas and projects at causeway.org/challenge. That's causeway.org/challenge. Well, the fourth challenge was, how can parents help transform public education in Chattanooga?
Mm-hmm.
And this is such a timely question now that we're still kind of dealing with and wrestling with. This is just a great example of how you took the big question of Chattanooga and posed it to where anybody can answer. And I'd love to hear some of the ideas that came out of that.
Yeah. Even before the ideas that came out of it, like the question, I think was really interesting, and we specifically made it about how parents could be involved, because it feels like so much of so many of the ideas swirling around public education seem to be coming from the professionals, which they should. I mean, they're the pros; they do that for a living. But at the end of the day, like, parents are kids' first teachers and constant teachers in many ways. And we just really felt like the parent aspect was something that just kind of gets overlooked oftentimes, and not just in Chattanooga. I think that's the case just in education in general. And so we really specifically were like wanting to figure out ideas that, you know, just average you and me who knows nothing about, like, you know, pedagogy and how to actually teach children. We just are winging it and getting through the day, hoping they get fed, right? Wanted to figure out a way to get them involved in public education. So the ideas that came out of it were...
Did HCDE partner with you guys on this at all as far as getting the word out?
Definitely. Okay. They were helpful. That's a big part of making these things successful, is all the legwork that goes into it before we even, like, announce the topic.
Right, yeah.
We could not do it without people helping us spread the word. So the idea is, that one was interesting because it was half teacher, half parent responses, essentially.
Okay.
And so to me, why that's interesting is that, parents have ideas about how they could get involved and want to be more involved in their kids' education, but teachers really want it too.
Yeah.
I mean, we had some great ideas coming from teachers themselves of how, you know, what can parents do to get parents involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think at the really kind of classroom level, which is, in my opinion, like the school equivalent of grassroots, right, where it's actually happening, the teachers totally want parents to be, you know, in the trenches with them side by side.
All right, well, the fifth Causeway challenge is, how can we empower youth in Chattanooga to create safer communities?
Yeah, so this was probably the biggest challenge, no pun intended, but challenge for us to do this question. So, because it's just so complex and so challenging and so important. This question came about because after having done four of them, which we chose the questions, you know, with lots of input, but chose the questions kind of behind closed doors, if you will, we asked our community what they thought the question should be, and got, I don't know, I think like 100 responses or something. And then pulled out some themes, and this was like overwhelmingly the one that everybody wanted us to do.
Yeah.
And something with youth violence, basically. And so we really struggled with that, because we're like, how can we fix youth violence with like a $3,000 pilot project? We struggled with that because we didn't want to just do silly projects that were one and done. So for this one, we actually ended up, we also, as an organization at Causeway and just us as individuals on staff, don't have deep relationships with kids experiencing violence. Like, it's not what we do every day. And so for this one, we actually did it a little bit differently on the front end, because we partnered with 10 different organizations in town, all of whom do work with kids facing challenging situations every day. And so we had, for our kickoff event, we did what we called a reverse pitch. So the way the reverse pitch works is that you pitch your problem.
Oh, wow.
And so they each got up there and really kind of gave us an overview of what is their biggest challenge that they face day in and day out delivering services to kids and reaching kids and preventing violence. And so that was the kickoff event, and it was fabulous and kind of overwhelming, but also inspiring at the same time to see that these, you know, these organizations who do this every day still don't have it figured out, but are trying and are doing good stuff. So then the applications opened after that, and we matched the applicants with the pitchers.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't all exactly match up, but I think 8 of them did. In the application, they had to say which one they were answering, or like who they'd like to be paired up with. Because that's one of the kind of, overarching themes that we've learned with the challenge is that, while we really do believe in the power of people to solve their own problems, there is also power in organization, in expertise, in experience, having done it, whatever it is. And so we tried to, for us, sometimes a win for a long-term win for a challenge project would be that it ends up at an organization where it can live in perpetuity, and like the person who started it could do it through that organization.
Well, that brings us to today and the current challenge. So Causeway Challenge number 6 is, how can we use creativity to increase civic engagement in Chattanooga? How can we use creativity to increase civic engagement in Chattanooga? So kind of, tell me about the impetus for this question. Like, how'd you guys come up with this?
Okay, so there's kind of two critical pieces to this question, I think. The creativity piece and the civic engagement piece. And the civic engagement piece came from the fact that we've been wanting to do this challenge for a while. This has kind of been, in many ways, I think we could have led with this one as well.
I mean, I feel like, everything you've done so far could be umbrellaed underneath this question.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, as we're kind of looking back through doing inspiration type of stuff, we do like a Pinterest board for each challenge question as inspiration that people can look to get ideas.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes for that.
Yeah, they're good. But this Pinterest board, we were like, that's kind of like from the first challenge, the connectivity challenge. Yeah. Like, we could have that one all over again. So it's kind of it's a little bit of a riff on the first one in some ways, and then frankly in all of them. But then we as an organization, I think, it's funny because sometimes I actually find myself referring to us as a civic engagement hub.
Right.
Some people think of civic engagement as like a really political thing, which we are not. But I do think that that we've defined civic engagement as political and non-political.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about that for a second, just because, I was part of some little roundtable sessions you guys did at the very beginning of this. And that was always the big question is, what is civic engagement mean to you? Mm-hmm. And what were some of the big answers that came out of that from those groups, the stakeholder groups?
Yeah, I mean, the general gist of it, and we have a blog series too that people can read, where we've had a lot of different people answer that question. The general gist is that civic engagement is just people working together to make the community better. I'm paraphrasing, but that's the gist of it, I think. Now, some people have a connotation of it being political or being about organizing or about, public policy, and I think that that is certainly part of it. But I think that civic engagement is also, being involved in your church and doing stuff through that, or it's, being involved in your kid's school. That is civic engagement as well. And frankly, I think you could take it to the level of civic engagement is like casual get-togethers in your neighborhood where you're just
knowing your neighbor's
name, just getting to know your neighbor. Yeah, I mean, there's power in that, So we have kept it very broad because that's what we believe, but also because I think that we'll get a broad swath of ideas that could come from that.
Well, okay, so we've talked a little bit about civic engagement, but you said the other important word in this is creativity. So tell me a little bit more about that.
So that one is because we, at the end of the day, like we we talk about innovation and new ideas and solving problems. At the end of the day, what we're really looking for is creativity. We want people to try new things, to have come up with new solutions. And creativity to us is a word that is just a little bit more approachable than like innovation.
Yeah.
Your innovation, you're like, oh, I'm going to build an app. I don't know how to do that. But creativity, while I think there is some work there, you talk to people who say, oh, I'm not creative. Everyone is creative. Right. Creativity is more accessible, I think, of a word. So we picked that one. We've been doing quite a bit of outreach to the creatives community, the actual like design community. And for our kickoff event that we did, the speakers that we brought in were all kind of creative types.
Yeah.
Whether that's graphic designers, architects, copywriter type of folks. So for this one, we would love to see a combination of, and that's part of what we can do too, is like matchmaking, kind of making sure people have the right people on their team. I would love to see applications coming both from non-creatives who might need some creative help on their team, but also from the quote-unquote creative folks who, you know, have really good technical skills and think creatively already from a day-to-day standpoint. Take that skill set and apply it to civic innovation. Because, I mean, some of the cool things that we see coming out encouraging civic innovation, they're all, like, well-designed, thoughtful kind of concepts that the creative folks in town could really bring some cool thought to bear on.
Well, tell us a little bit about the details for this challenge. I know applications are open right now. How long does that go? What is the financial piece on this one? How many winners are you guys going to accept? All those kind of things.
Yeah, so applications are open now through the end of July, and it's just online at causeway.org/challenge or causeway.org. You can't miss it. And we have a panel of judges. I think last I checked, we have 10 judges. Yeah, there's 10 judges. All have some experience in some form of civic engagement. We've tried to be kind of balanced on the political side just to make sure that we've got different perspectives there. So they will judge them the first couple weeks of August, and then we'll announce winners. Middle of August, we'll be announcing the winners. And then the winning ideas, we'll do up to 10 ideas, $3,000 a piece, and then they do get to go through our incubation process, which is the whole thing is 4 months long. It's kind of front loaded in terms of your commitment at Causeway, because we take them through our Co-Starters for Causes class,
right, yep,
effectively, and it's a 9-week weekly meeting where they really kind of flush their idea out, figure out what resources they need, how they're going to spend the money, who else they need on their team, who their partners need to be. Really just kind of get the plan together for the first 9 weeks, and then have the balance of the 4 months, so about 2 months, to actually execute the project. And it's a test project, right?
Yeah.
It's all about a pilot project. We know that the $3,000 is, you know, not gonna sustain this thing forever, but hopefully by the end of the 4 month period, the person as a leader of this thing now has some experience. They've actually done it. It's not just an idea in their head. And they hopefully will have an example to point to of like, hey, this thing worked. And then they can go and get additional funding, additional support for it. Or this thing didn't work.
Right.
It was a bad idea.
Well, and that's what I love about
you
guys.
It was a good idea that didn't quite work, and we need to tweak it. That's totally fine. But by the end of the 4 months, that should kind of have a game plan for what the next steps are.
And that's what I love about you guys using Co-Starters for Causes, almost forcing these people to go through that, is because it deals with a lot of those questions. Is this actually going to be able to be possible? If it is, what are some funding sources? Like, it takes them through that entrepreneurship mm-hmm. sort of 101. And, you know, and the other thing, you know, I really love about you guys having all these people go through this class is, you know, odds are these 10, let's say you do have 10 winners, they don't know each other, mm-hmm. but they're going to spend 9 weeks, you know, people who want to be engaged in this sort of a topic are going to be in the same room for 9 weeks, you know, kind of working this together. And so I can't imagine how important that relationship building process is on top of everything else.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the funny thing. Like, I mean, clearly the projects themselves matter, and we want them to be as great as they possibly can be, as impactful as they can be. But at the end of the day, the process is about people. And I mean, that's the feedback that we get time and time again. The very first challenge I talked about, where we just kind of like cut the checks and then said, see you in 4 months, that was the number one feedback that they gave. They were like, we would have liked to have been with the other challenge winners. Like, they are cool people with great ideas that we would like to bounce ideas off of. And so that's how we've gotten to now at the sixth one, where it's a pretty, it's a thing that we actually engineer to make sure that the folks who are going through this together really kind of have some bond and some a network that they didn't have before. So that's the part that without fail people always are like, whether my idea was great or not, whether it worked out or not, like I've now got this group of people who I was in it with together.
Well, you know, so for people who maybe have an idea that are listening to this, you know, what's the application process like?
So it's an online application is the kind of main way to do it. If you are really, really online averse, we also have it offline. We're happy to walk through it with you and write it out with you, and then we'll just put it in our system if we have to. But most people apply online, and it is, I forget the exact number of questions. There's probably, it's under 10, and all of them are like 500 words or less responses, in some cases just a sentence. We try to keep it really approachable and low lift. It's a balance. We want people to have to put enough thought and effort into it to know that they're serious, but yet not so much that it feels like it's too much of a challenge that you have to like get a grant writer to do it. And then from the standpoint of judging, we really coach the judges to try to look past some of the biases that we all have around, like, you know, if it's not a perfectly constructed sentence, that's okay. We're trying to get at concepts. We're trying to get at, you know, whether the idea and the person behind it is passionate about that idea. So don't be scared off by having to string sentences and words together. You don't have to be a great writer. We'll get through it. But yeah, we try to keep it easy and accessible for anybody.
Well, you know, before I let you go here on the podcast, there's something else I know you guys are kind of heading up right now, and it's actually a conversation that's been going on for a while. But I think right now you guys are kind of taking the lead on exploring whether or not there should be a corner market put into Patton Towers here in downtown. So tell me a little bit about that and how people can learn more about that.
Yeah, so you're right. This has been going on now for a while. It's one of those projects that you're like, is this ever going to happen? But I think it is. So that's actually something I'm telling you this for the first time. It got approved.
Oh, wow.
We are going to do it. We are, by getting approved, I mean that the building management, the owners of Patton Towers is on board. And, you know, there's lots of history there, but there's new owners, relatively new owners. They're not local, but they've been good to work with, I have to say, actually. So it's been us, Enterprise Center, Company Lab, have been just really since the Edney buildings opened, have really been trying to just get to know Patton Towers and the residents who live there. You know, they're in the heart of our innovation district. Again, lots of opinions and baggage and probably half-truths that come with Patton Towers. But at the end of the day, we've got, 200 and something people who live in our downtown who are really not going anywhere and shouldn't go anywhere, live down here, and we got to figure out how to make sure the innovation district works for them too. So that's what we've been doing. Our organizations for the past over a year now have just been trying to do some programming in the tower, get to know the residents, get to know the management. And we did a health fair about a year ago now, and got to understand needs and income levels. We did a bunch of surveying at the same time. And really realized that food was a big issue. You know, not surprising, but just good to have the data behind it. And then Bueller's closed as well recently. So I think that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back for management. And we're able to get them to give us a space on the 11th Street side. No, not the 11th Street. Georgia Street
the
side.
Georgia, yeah.
The Georgia side. If you walk by there now, you can kind of see, and there's like a break room if you look into the glass. That's the space that they've identified that we can use. And we got the YMCA on board, the Healthy in a Hurry corner store concept that they've been doing.
Right.
And they're going to run it. And we're going to do a 6-month pilot. And we've got some funding from Lyndhurst Foundation to help us with some of the startup expenses. And then gonna see if the thing can stand on its own. The idea is for it to be completely self-sustaining. There's some cool things that Bill Rush at the Y is toying with, like buy one, give one kind of coffee concept, pizza concept, and some grab and go healthy options. But we're trying to make sure that the actual stock is great for folks who live there, but who also, as well as for folks who work downtown. Yeah. So it can't.
So it serves everybody.
Yeah, it can't work without both components.
We've had Bill Rush on the podcast before, and you know, when you talk about the J. Henry YMCA and you know their focus on Chattanooga to create a healthier city, one of the things I just found so fascinating about the organization is the way they focus on food deserts. Mm-hmm. And so they're pioneering these sort of corner store fresh vegetables and fruit things all over the city wherever there's a food desert. And you know, I don't think most people would think about downtown as being a food desert, but it absolutely is depending on your income level.
And so
I think this is such a great project that brings together these different stakeholders, including the J. Henry YMCA, you know, you guys, CoLab, and a few others.
We're going to be, our target open date is, end of September. But as you know, with construction projects, I probably dare not say that date out loud. So we're trying to get it open, and it's going to be real kind of lighter, quicker, cheaper type of thing, because it's a pilot. We're going to do paint and windows. We'll get some cool branding and like vinyl stuff that's going to go on, and some sidewalk signage and whatnot, but generally speaking, it's going to be relatively low investment on the front end, just to see if it even has interest. And go from there.
Well, there is a survey going around right now that you guys have online that people can fill out about the grocery store and this corner store. And so I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well.
Great.
I know one of the questions you guys had on there, which I love the idea, is whether or not people will be willing to buy a gift card ahead of time. Just to help fund the project and get it off the ground. So that thing that was brilliant.
Well, of course you do. This is totally inspired by you. We literally were like, when Camp House moved, they did their Kickstarter or their Causeway campaign, and how can we do that? So the idea that we're gonna do there, and again, we haven't got the survey results back yet, but is do a generosity.com, which is the new Indiegogo platform.
Okay.
For social good. Do a generosity campaign where you can pre-buy gift cards.
Yeah.
So to help us get some pre-revenue.
Yeah. When we first just in reference to that, when we first moved to our new location, you know, we actually put it out there that people could buy a year's worth of coffee ahead of time as one of the big perks to our way we fundraised, just to raise some extra capital there. So yeah.
Yeah. We almost probably put you out of business, but the amount of free coffee that we got because of that.
All right, Abby. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. This was a fun conversation.
Absolutely. How can we use creativity to increase civic engagement in Chattanooga? That is the question. That is the challenge. And if you have any ideas that can answer that question, then please go online to the Causeway website and share your idea. Applications are open through July, so please don't wait any longer to get those ideas in. And you can apply at causeway.org/challenge. Again, thank you so much to Abby for sharing with us today about the work of Causeway and their latest challenge. Like I said at the beginning, I look forward to each one of these Causeway challenge questions because they're always timely and addressing a real need in our city. Now we'll all wait in anticipation to see what some of you will come up with. As always, I want to thank our studio sponsor, the Lamp Post Group, for hosting our podcast. You can learn more about them at thelamppostgroup.com, and you can check out their podcast, Dynamo Discussions, wherever you get your podcasts from. And thank you all for listening. Please take a moment to share this episode with a friend to help get the word out about Causeway's challenge. The more this question is being asked, the more people will be talking about it, and the more ideas will come forward. So share it with a friend, and you can do that at thecamphouse.com/podcast. So thank you all for being here. I hope you have a great day, and we'll see you again next week.